disappointed at Christmas. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 here in just a while, so you can go ahead and turn there, your Bibles or your phones, whatever it is that you've got this morning. Matthew chapter 2. And I want to look at kind of a different side of Christmas this morning with you in the thought of what makes Christmas expectations fall short. What are the things that make Christmas expectations fall short? Scott alluded to it just a while ago as we were praying. There is great strife in the world that we live in today. We all know that. There is turmoil. Our nation is in trouble in many ways, and we could go into great detail today if we wanted to how that is. But maybe for us personally, when we think about this, we think about decisions that we may have made in our life this past year that we can't undo, and we're stuck because of that. For many of us, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas here very shortly, for you, maybe there's going to be an empty seat this year at the table, where last year when you celebrated, that seat was filled with someone. I know a lot of people who begin, you know, Christmas traditions are changing so much now. We started celebrating December 1st. We had actually a dinner that we attended because it's hard to get everybody together at the same time. So it seems like from December 1st all the way through, we're trying to find, you know, times and places that we can celebrate together. And some of us would say if our Christmas traditions changed over the course of the years, it doesn't seem like Christmas. I don't know about you, but there's certain Christmas movies I like to watch this time of year. And if I don't watch those Christmas movies, then it's really not Christmas, you know. Some people believe that, you know, if we don't have our same traditions that we've had in the past, it just doesn't seem like Christmas. And so, but it's also a disappointing thing this time of year. And I would encourage you to be praying for many people who, from what I have heard through the news and through the media, GMC is going to be closing a lot of their plants. And so thousands of workers are going to be laid off, or if that's not happened already. And the reality this morning is that pain is real and that life sometimes hurts. And just because Christmas is upon us doesn't mean that goes away. It's still real this time of year. And so I want to kind of be vulnerable and honest this morning and talk to you a little bit about the other side of Christmas. And I guess the side of Christmas where it's not a wonderful life, where there is no silent night, where the things that maybe used to make Christmas a joyful occasion is no longer there. But here's the reality, and Scott, I appreciate Scott's Sunday school lesson because it spoke to this. That is why, friends, there is a Christmas. Amen? That's why we have Christmas, because of all these things. Because lest we forget that God came to earth and he came to become flesh for you and I, so that us, even though we struggle with pain and we struggle with heartache and loss and disappointment, failure, hurt, there's still hope. That's the good news of the message of the gospel, that even in that, there is still hope. I want to take you to Matthew 2, and I want to take you from the part where, you know, we have the scene of the manger. We have Jesus, we have Mary, Joseph, we have the shepherds. Angels are gathered where everyone is rejoicing there in the center of Bethlehem. There is rejoicing, and there is worship, and there is singing, and there's all these things going on. But outside of that, there's a lot of other stuff going on as well because it's tax time. How many of you just look forward? You just love tax time, you know? It's tax time. And not only tax time, but everyone had to come to the city because the census had to be taken. Everyone had to be counted. You've got the rush of the season. You've got the craziness of everything that's happening. And in the midst of that, here's Jesus being born. And there is rejoicing and there is worship. But we find, let's just pick the story up from Matthew chapter 2, verse 13 this morning. This is just right after the celebration. Jesus has been born and the celebration has happened and the The we picture the wise men coming later, but they present their gifts and everything. And then verse 13, it says of Matthew chapter 2, after they were gone, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, get up, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and escaped to Egypt. He stayed there until Herod's death, so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into a rage. He gave orders to massacre all the male children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. I'll just stop there this morning. So basically what we have is Mary and Joseph and Jesus have to, immediately after this celebration, have to leave to go to Egypt to flee from this Herod who is, let's just say he's jealous, because he has learned that another king has been born, and he's after Jesus. Of course, I love how the wise men, the twist in that, the wise men tricked him. And so because of all that, the Bible says here that any male born that was 2 years or younger had to be taken from their homes and be executed. I mean, that's the part of Christmas we don't really like to talk about or think about. But Herod is threatened by the rule of someone else who may be coming to power. I just want to say this morning. If you're here today and you feel broken, and maybe this time of year, I think people feel the stress and the pain and the difficulty of life more this time of year than any other time. And maybe you're there. I mean, maybe you feel stressed, you feel broken, you feel abandoned, hurt. I want to remind you of some things this morning. I want to say this first of all. For children, it's all about gift giving, right? Come around Christmas time, they're excited about getting gifts. Now, here's how I do this now. I've changed. I don't wrap presents. You don't even want to see me try to wrap a present. And so I explained to them, I said, okay, you have this much amount a piece to spend on Christmas. So I just sent them away. I said, go for it. Get what you need, throw it in the cart, here's your amount, and then we'll check out. And that's how we do Christmas now. But you know, I've learned that I don't want their hope and their security to be anchored in a toy or a thing. And I think so many times what we do, especially when we come to this time of year, it's about gift giving and kids receiving gifts. And I want to say this, if a child or even us as an adult, if our hope is anchored in a thing, in a possession, whether it's a toy or stuff or money, we're going to be sorely disappointed. We're going to be sorely disappointed. What a real letdown. If that's where we place our sense of worth, if it's in how much we possess, if our sense of worth is the praise that we receive from other people, then what a real letdown. Because what happens when those things are no longer there? Now, I don't know about you, but in my experience with my kids, they take the stuff that they get a lot of times, and they play with it for about a week, and then it goes in the corner with the other toys that they've been given years before, right? That's simply how that kind of works. And we kind of do the same thing. But the reality is everything else in our life is insignificant compared to what God means to you and I. And I want to share three important points this morning as we keep the real focus and the real center around Jesus, especially this time of year. Here's some things I want you to think about, especially if you're a person that this time of year is difficult when it comes to suffering and loss and trying to find hope. We talked about hope in Sunday school. First thing is this, there is suffering, right? But God came to bear it with us. Even though there is trouble, there are trials. Sometimes in life, the bottom falls out, right? Though there is suffering, the good news is God came to bear it with us. You know what I love about the Bible? The Bible is honest. The Bible is honest. The Bible tells us the story of Christmas, right? But not only does it speak of shepherds and wise men coming from the east, and it talks about the angels rejoicing and all gathered around the manger, there's kind of that other side of Christmas where you have King Herod, you have the sound of soldiers' feet. Unfortunately, there's the side of the murder of little children. I mean, I can't imagine having a child and loving that child with all your heart. And the next thing you know, there's soldiers coming in to take that child from you. Anguish is a part of the Christmas story. Anguish is a true part of the Christmas story. That's to anyone who is suffering. That's to that person this time of year who feels the loneliness, where the loneliness sets in. That's to anyone this time of year who your heart is grieving because maybe you've lost a loved one. Do you know the front page of one of the Shelby County papers here about, I got about 3 weeks ago, on the front page there's a small little print that said suicide rate is at an all-time high in our world. People have just lost hope. They have no sense of peace. They have no sense of what life really is all about. But see, that's where Christmas comes in, because Christmas comes to a suffering world to tell us that God doesn't guarantee he's going to take away our problems. He doesn't guarantee he's going to take away our suffering. He doesn't guarantee to take away pain or loss or fear or hopelessness. He says, I'm going to bear it with you. I won't take it away, but I will be there with you in the midst of those things. Eli Wiesel is a Jewish author, and he wrote a book about a slave laborer. This was in World War II. This was a German concentration camp. And he writes about the Holocaust and all the things that happened to him during the war. And one evening they had returned after a day of slave labor, and they discovered there were three gallows, and they were erected at the center of the camp. And three prisoners were to be executed on that day. And all the guards were forced with the prisoners there to stand and watch. Do you know there were two adults and there was one boy, one little boy, in the midst of all this. And the nooses were put around the neck of all, and all three were made to stand on the chairs. And what they would do is they would kick out the chairs from underneath. And as they did, the two men died instantly, hung them to death. The little boy was so light that his neck didn't break. So there he was, hanging there, gasping for breath, gasping for air, struggling for about 30 minutes. And there was nothing that anyone could do. The prisoners were forced to watch. The guards were standing there nearby. Finally, 30 minutes later, the little boy died. And one of the men behind Wiesel cried out, "You say there is a God? Where is he now?" And Wiesel said, "I turned back and looked at him and said, there he is, hanging on the end of that rope." See, it makes me think that beyond the stars, far away in the heavens, God came among to be with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Not only we know that when we hurt, but God suffers with us. God bleeds with us. God struggles when we struggle. That's how much he loves us. He loves us because when he sees us hurting, when he sees us struggling, he's right there to bear that with us and love us through it. The second thing is this. Number two, there is uncertainty, but God came to lead us through it. That's good news this morning. There is uncertainty in our world today, but God came to lead us through that. There is uncertainty in the life of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. They have no idea where. They just know they're told by the angel, you're supposed to go to Egypt. You have to escape Herod. And they don't know where they're going to live. There's uncertainty about the future. They don't know where they're supposed to go. They just know that they're supposed to go to Egypt. There's a lot of uncertainty. There's no plan in place. The only thing that they knew was God would be with them. And they knew that God was leading them. I just want to ask you this morning, what uncertainties are you wrestling with today? What uncertainties are you wrestling with today? How many of us know that life can be uncertain at times, can it? Life is sometimes uncertain. And when we feel the weight of that, and we do, I like to go back to the passage in the Bible. It's just to remind myself when life seems uncertain that the Bible tells us that God cares for the not only us, but He cares for the birds of the air. He cares for the flowers and the grass in the field. That if He's going to take care of creation, isn't God going to take care of us? He will. God is able to do that. I'm thankful today that our tomorrow is in the hands of God. Our today and our tomorrow is in God's hands. God, oftentimes, God's intention for us, it's not to get you over sadness. It's not to get you over that pain or to get you over that hurt or that loss. What God wants to do is He wants to help lead us through it. Here's the third thing this morning is this. We know this. There is death, but God came to overcome that. God through Jesus. God sent Jesus into this world as a baby to be born, to become a man, to die on the cross so that we could live forever. There is death. We will all experience death at some point. Whether that's someone we love or we will die, surely. There's one death. And hopefully that we know Jesus. If we know Him as our Savior and our Lord, once we die, we get to be in eternity with Him forever. That's the good news of the gospel. There is death. But God came to overcome it. You see, Jesus was born for us. Jesus was born for you. You know what I love about that? Jesus came right to us. He didn't ask us to go to where He was. He came into this world. He came right to us. He came to meet us right where we are. Jesus came into a world that is broken. Jesus came into a world that is lost. A world that doesn't know God. A world where suffering is here, where brokenness is here, where uncertainty about the future, that's here. But the message of Christmas is that God is with us. God is with us. I think this is the time of year that we really feel our losses more deeply than any other time. But it's also the time of year that there's the one that we get to celebrate, Jesus. That God is with us because Jesus came. It reminds me of a story. There's a story of a family who had lost a young son, and they really felt that pain and that loss around Christmas time. And it's around the Christmas season, and they're gathered together, and they're putting the ornaments up on the tree, and they had grieved. They had gone to counseling. They did everything they could to deal with, and I can't imagine losing a child. Some of you may have experienced that. Trying to deal with something like that, especially this time of year, is really hard. And so Christmas came, and it was time to put up the Christmas tree, and they got out all the lights, and they got out all the decorations, and they began to put all those on the tree. And one of the ornaments reminded the mother of the son that she lost because he made that ornament. It was a special ornament that he had made. And so she looked at the ornament, and she's getting ready to put it on the tree and just began to weep. Just began to cry as she was thinking about her son. Her son's name was Dougie. And it was at that time, the older son, his name was Scott, he put his arm around his mom and he said, "Mom," he said, "you miss Dougie, don't you?" And she said, "More than you'll ever know." And he said this, he said, "Mom," he said, "you know, Christmas is the time that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, right?" She said, "Yeah, that's right." She said, "You know, I think we know that Dougie's gone to be with Jesus, right?" She said, "Yeah, that's right." And I said, "You know what that means, Mom? That means that Dougie is having much more fun than we are right now." And she said, "Yeah, I guess that's right. I believe he is." And you know what? That makes Christmas much more real to us to know that even though death is real, even though we experience death in this life, that God came to give us victory over death. There's a story of a preacher's family. They're putting up their nativity scene in front of the house. And there's one one child that they're carrying out all their figures. They have the animals, they have the manger, they've got the statue of Mary and Jesus, everybody who's, you know, typically part of that Christmas scene. And their little boy had a favorite toy. It was a fierce figure. It was a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And so he was, of course, the king of the dinosaurs. And he had this plastic figure that he brought out that was large. It was actually larger than all the other ornaments that they had. And so he brought out this figure, and it towered the other figures of the nativity scene. And it's kind of not what you think about with a nativity scene. When you think about all these things, you don't think about this Tyrannosaurus Rex towering over all of that. But his dad said, his name was Scott. His dad said, "Scott, you've got to take that back." He said, "That doesn't belong here." He said, "I got to tell you," he said, "dinosaurs existed thousands of years before baby Jesus." He said, "This just isn't part of the scene." And so he insisted he had to have it there with the other figures. Here's this fierce dinosaur hovering over the manger and everything else. And the preacher said, "You know what?" He said, as we sat back there, as we stood back and we looked at it, he said, it kind of dawned on us that maybe the dinosaur was really kind of a good part of the nativity scene, because he said, in our lives, there is always a menacing character that's always threatening to rob us of our joy. And he said, we kind of realized that that dinosaur actually kind of made sense. And Christmas comes to remind us, friends, that the baby in the manger is stronger than all the dinosaurs in your life or mine. That God gives us victory through his Son, Jesus. God, through Jesus, came to this earth to help us through times of suffering, through times of uncertainty, to lead us in times where we don't know what's next or we don't know what we're going to do about a particular situation. Jesus came to give us hope. And I just want to say this morning. Jesus offers himself to us today. And he awaits in anticipation for us. Our hope is anchored in Jesus. That we don't have to put our trust in the things of this world, because it's only temporary, but Jesus is our eternal hope. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus into your life, into your heart, and you need to make that decision, that's the most important decision that you could ever make.